digging into God's word. Listen, last week we started our series on the practice of scripture. And so over the course of the summer, we began with generosity, then moved into solitude, and we have just started our series on scripture. And here's what, if you hear nothing else, here's what I want you to know today, is that God's word is precious. That God's word is precious. His word has the power to change your life. His word has the power to speak into different situations that are present in this very moment in a way that no one and nothing else can. And so last week we talked about reading scripture. And today we have the joy of speaking of what it means to meditate on God's word. Now, I want to start with some foundational principles of following Jesus, just to make sure that we're all on the same page. And Jesus' greatest commandment to his disciples is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment that Jesus gives his disciples. And the second, he says, is like it, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. There's a clear hierarchy in the priority of these commandments. Loving God is first, loving others is second. And what we learn is that in following Jesus, you cannot love others the way that God intends without loving God with your whole being. Now, truth be told, the easiest way for us to know what somebody loves is what they talk about. It's what they talk about. It's what they think about. And my wife, Kayla, and I, when we go out for dinner, she has gotten really smart, and she doesn't ask me where I want to go as quickly anymore. Okay? And the reason why is because she, with 99% certainty, can tell you what I'm going to say. It's not because she's a mind reader or anything like that. It's just because I say the same thing every time. I must confess, I love poutine. Okay? I just love it. I just love it. The fries with the gravy, with the cheese curds. No, oh, man, it's amazing. It's amazing. I'll take it from a chip truck. I'll take it from a nice restaurant. I'll take it from anything in between. I love poutine. And so Kayla, my wife, has gotten really, really smart because now she's like, if she wants poutine, she'll ask me. If she doesn't, she's like, I know what's going to pop into his mind right away. So let me bring up some other options to widen the scope of what dinner might look like or lunch might look like. But you know, what we think about really, really matters, and it has the potential to shape our lives. When we follow Jesus, our thought life matters. We can either worship God with our thoughts, or we can sin against God with our thoughts. In Ephesians 4, 22 to 23, the Apostle Paul highlights the process that we are to experience as we follow Jesus. He starts off by saying, put off your old self, which belongs to your former way of living and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Then he goes on to say, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. The ESV translation puts it that way. And then he concludes by saying, put on the new self created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So you'll notice in between putting off the old self and putting on the new self, there is a need for the spirit of our minds to be renewed. Now, the spirit of our minds is not a phrase that perhaps you've heard before. It's definitely not a phrase that we use often. And so what does that mean? Other translations render this piece of scripture to mean made new in the attitude of your mind, or to let the spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. The bottom line is this, that if we're going to look, love, and live like Jesus, there's a transformation. There is a transformation of the nature of our thinking and being that must take place. And so we are to meditate on Scripture. This practice of meditation has many different meanings today in culture, as many religions suggest that meditation is a helpful practice. However, the Christian understanding of meditation is unique and distinct from any other practice of meditation. In Hebrew, meditation is presented as the word haga. Okay, I'm going to tell you what the translation is. It may be weird for a second, but bear with me. So this word, haga, means to murmur or growl. Okay, interesting. And the picture is like a lion savoring its prey. To meditate is this experience of a lion savoring its prey. Okay, for me, it's poutine. For you, it might be something else. But listen, when I sit down and I'm hungry and I just want something to eat and I take that first bite of a delicious poutine, the first thing that I say is, yes, you got it. You got it. And what that sound conveys to anybody who's around and who's listening is that I am enjoying what I am eating. In the same way, meditating on God's word is this space of ingesting the truth of God's word. And in doing so, we delight in that truth. We sit in it. We savor it. We allow it to shape us and form us and move us to become more like Jesus. Joshua, who took over from Moses in the leadership of Israel, as this leadership transition is taking place, God instructs him very clearly like this in Joshua 1:8. He says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Psalm 1, verse 1 to 2 echoes the same idea. And it says, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night." Day and night. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can read God's word and I can sometimes feel like God is exaggerating. Like this idea in Scripture that says, pray without ceasing. It's like, oh, but God, how am I going to pray and do my work? How am I going to pray and do all the thousand things that I need to do in my life? And when we read this idea of meditating on Scripture day and night, sometimes we can spew it as a way that God perhaps is exaggerating a little bit. It's like, meditate on my word when you have time. Meditate on my word when it's convenient. But really, when he says day or night, there is no other time slots available during the day. It's either day or it is night. He covers the whole 24-hour period in those three words. And this is the space that we are to live as followers of Jesus, that we delight in his word, not just sometimes, not just when we have time, but day or night, we are to delight in his word. Meditation brings incredible blessing to the life of a believer, and it is meant to be something that is a regular part of our lives. Meditation is slow. It's deliberate and joyful. It's like chewing a bite 20 times to savor its flavor. However, often our human disposition is one of speed. We are culturally conditioned to always be moving, talking, or scrolling, rarely pausing to simply think and reflect. But this is the gift of meditation. Biblical meditation has a profound effect on the human soul, an effect that transforms an individual's way of thinking, and by doing so, it changes the way they live their life. Christian meditation is not about emptying the mind, but rather about filling the mind with the truth of God's word. In Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, he encourages them in this manner. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. Meditating on the Bible is a way in which we can intentionally align our thinking with God's word. It's a way in which we invite the truth of God's word to move from our head to our heart, in order that we may not lean on our own understanding, but allow God, acknowledge God, and he will make our path straight. Psalm 119, verse 9 to 14, expresses the posture that I believe we are each to have and that will compel us into a space of meditation. And so Psalm 119, verse 9 to 14 says this: How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees and I will not neglect your word. You see, if we want to live a life that reflects Jesus, we must learn to live according to his word. It's this desire that moves us into a place of reading his word and compels us to just sit and meditate on scripture. Meditating on scripture allows the truth of his word to move from our head to our heart and our soul. You see, it's far too easy for scripture to only become a place where we look for inspiration or information. Jesus himself rebuked religious leaders of this in his time because they knew the words of scripture intellectually, but they did not have understanding of the scriptures. Matthew 22, verse 29, Jesus is speaking to the Sadducees, and they presented him with a scenario and some theological statements. And what he responds is, "You are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." Now, these are religious leaders. They've studied scripture. But the Sadducees, according to Jesus, they had much knowledge about the contents of scripture, yet Jesus suggests they had very little understanding or insight into the truth found in these scriptures. Why? Why does Jesus kind of discount their knowledge? Well, Jesus knew that reading scripture is different than hiding the words of scripture in your heart and allowing the truth of scripture to transform your heart and your mind. As we engage meditating on God's word, we are inviting God to move the truth of scripture from our mind to the depth of our soul. Now, this is a complex process. It's often not linear. If you were to ask me today, "Pastor Sam, how do I teach my heart to understand the truth of God's word?" I don't know what I would say. It's not very linear. I cannot give you a game plan, but I can give you a singular step, and it's to engage prayer. You see, God, through the Holy Spirit, is the only one who can give the type of understanding and revelation that speaks to the depths of an individual's heart and soul. I can quote scriptures to you all day long, but until God reveals that truth to your heart, it will never have a transformative effect in your soul. And so with that being said, meditation is not just pondering. It's not just thinking. It is a prayerful process that we engage. As theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it, meditation is the prayerful consideration of Scripture. The gift of meditation is in the way that it allows us to converse with God. It provides the space for us to bring our questions and confusions and tensions that we experience as we read God's word. There are many reasons why sometimes we don't read Scripture. But perhaps for some of us in this room, it's because we don't understand Scripture. It's because we read it and intellectually we're trying to process what it means to a completely different culture context than the one that we are living in today. And there's a space to study and to research and to dig into those spaces to grow, you know, the context. Maybe join LSB, I don't know. But there's also a space in which we simply need to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us, recognizing that we will never fully understand the ins and outs of Scripture unless God speaks to us through His Word. And so when we engage this prayerful process, we discover not just the truth of God's word, but we also discover the nature and tone of God's heart towards us. When we understand the Father's heart, it is in this space that we understand what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119. And it says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Oh, how I love your law. Oh, how I love your law. There's a delight that the psalmist has in God's law. And I don't know about you, but when I think law, I think of restrictions. Like when I'm driving, the only thing standing between me and my destination is the speed limit. And so in this space, sometimes we can view laws in a negative light, but really when we dig into God's law, it is not the restrictions or perhaps God's indications that bring delight, although they do and they bring blessing to your life, but at a deeper level, what brings greater joy is not the laws themselves. It is the giver of those laws. See, as we understand God's guidance and God's word and God's truth, it teaches us about the Father's heart. And so meditating on Scripture turns Scripture into a conversation with God that breathes joy and life into your soul. But meditation doesn't end with reflection and revelation from God. It includes obedience. See, in Joshua 1:8, when God directs Joshua to meditate on Scripture, it isn't just so he will be more knowledgeable, but it is so that he may be careful to do everything written in it. You see, the rabbis used to say that you learn with your feet. You learn with your feet. Another interesting phrase today. But the bottom line is you learn through practice, through obedience. And there's definitely truth to this statement, as obedience to God's word is part of how we discover the deeper layers of wisdom and power ingrained in Scripture. Eugene Peterson writes this: "Christians feed on Scripture. We assimilate it, take it into our lives, and in such a way it gets metabolized into acts of love." You see, as a culture, we are inundated with information daily, and as such, we have become wired to hear information without doing anything with it. When it comes to Scripture, I pray that this is not the case for us as a church. I pray that we would follow after the words that James wrote. And he said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We are to be doers of the word. We are to put action behind what God is speaking to our hearts. And so meditation helps bridge this gap, letting God's word sink deep into our hearts and rewiring our minds to think and live like Jesus. This isn't about earning God's favor, but rather responding to his grace, letting his word shape our character. And so today, you may be hearing this and thinking to yourself, I need to meditate on God's word. I definitely felt that when I prepared this. And in that space, I think the invitation is, it's not too late to reclaim this practice. You still got today, day and night. The goal is not just to meditate and gain more information. It's about inviting God to bring transformation to our hearts, thus becoming people who love, think, and act like Jesus. And so how can we practice meditation? It's not complicated, but it does take a wee bit of discipline. Start small with a short passage and just simply slow down. Listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit and obey. And as you engage this process, you will feel your heart beginning to align to God's truth. So I want to leave you with three invitations, and then we're just going to take a moment and practice meditating together. And so the first invitation is to slow down. Some of us, if not all of us, lead busy lives. The common phrase is, I wish there were more hours in the day. If there were, we would fill them too. But the invitation is to slow down, pick up God's word, and to read it slowly, allowing the words to go into our mind and down into our soul. And so slow down this week. The second invitation is to engage obedience. As you read God's word, what may God be inviting you to do today? I would challenge you to ask the question as you meditate, Lord, what does it look like to respond in obedience to your word? What does it look like? I'm reading this, God, and you're speaking something to my soul. Lord, what does it look like to respond in obedience? It may be something big. It may be something small. Whatever it is, may we engage obedience. And lastly, let's savor scripture. Let's savor scripture. Did you know that this is God's word? And let me just kind of clarify this for you. God is the one who created the universe. God is the one who set the whole world into motion. God is the one who created you and designed you and has plans for your life. God is a God who does miracles and can do the impossible. And this same God has given us his word. And so let's not view his word as a chore, but let's view it as a feast to engage. I'm going to invite you for just a few moments to just close your eyes and bow your heads. And as you're in this posture, I'm going to read Psalm 23 over us. And I'm just going to invite you to, in this moment, still your heart, listen to these words from Scripture, and allow the Holy Spirit to highlight a word or a phrase for you today. And so Psalm 23 says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Just take a moment. Sit in that for a second. I'm just going to reread this passage one more time. And as I do, I want you to ask a new question. And the question is this: Lord, what does it look like to respond in obedience to your word? Lord, what does it look like to respond in obedience to your word? Do not rush to an answer, but wait and listen for the whisper of the Holy Spirit. And so Psalm 23 says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you that all that we need can be found in you. And so, Father, I pray that this week that you would show us how to posture our hearts to you in such a way that we might engage Scripture and hide it deep in our hearts, that it may transform the way that we think, the way that we experience life, and the way that we act in all moments. Father, would you help us? Would you teach us to live more like you through the power of your word and through the power of your spirit? Would you lead us? Would you guide us? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.